That is BBC audio from a protest over the weekend, not more from Ground Zero around the Park 51 project. No, it was from Afghanistan, where people were protesting the planned Quran-burning protest by Florida pastor Terry Jones with a protest of their own. And what were they chanting? Death to Obama. So death to America, death to Bush has given way to death to Obama, at least in that protest in Afghanistan. And in the week leading up to this year's September 11th anniversary, the BBC radio program World Have Your Say has been in New York examining America's suddenly strained relationship with Islam and charting the change in the 9 years since the attacks. Roz Atkins, a presenter of World Have Your Say on BBC World Service Radio and BBC World News Television, was talking to people on the streets of New York City on September 11th, and he's been asking World Have Your Say listeners around the globe to weigh in on Islam's relationship with the West. He joins us now to reflect on what he's heard from his audience outside the United States. Roz, big fan. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thanks for having me on, Brian. Good to speak to you.
You were here at Ground Zero on September 11th, but the entire New York press corps was there too, so our listeners have a sense of what you might have heard there. We want to know what you've been hearing from around the world. You take phone calls literally from around the globe on your show because the BBC World Service gets around the globe in the way it does. What are some of the most common kinds of calls that this whole mosque and community center controversy have sparked?
Well, I think the first thing to say, Brian, is just to mention the scale of it. It's been extraordinary how the debate about what should happen at Park Place and what was going to happen, although it didn't obviously, was going to happen down in Gainesville. Both of those stories have given us a huge, huge reaction from our audience around the world. I mean, if we start in Afghanistan, you played a clip there from one of the many protests that took place last week. We've been getting, you know, callers, I would say, fall into two categories. One, just imagine the idea of burning a Quran to be absolutely unacceptable. They don't care whether it's just one pastor threatening to do it or whether it's the whole country doing it. They seem to just view that single action as being the action of the country. And there's fury that it should even have been suggested. And it's definitely touched some open wounds about people's attitudes towards Americans more generally. But I would say that view is in the minority. What was interesting to me, we're on FM in Kabul, and we got a number of calls from there over the past few days, and most of them were saying, we want Americans to understand when General Petraeus says this could put American lives at risk, you've got to also remember it could put our lives at risk. We got a call from a guy called Asif, who was a translator who worked with U.S. forces, and he was concerned that the arguments over the Ground Zero proposition, the mosque or the cultural center, however you want to describe it, and the threat to burn the Qurans could actually put him at risk. And our Afghan listeners, I think, are also concerned that the arguments, the debates which are playing out non-violently in the States could start playing out violently in Afghanistan. So that was the view you're getting from there. I was also fascinated by the response we got from our African listeners. A number of them just called up to say, America, just take a step back from this. We had calls from Liberia, from Uganda, countries which know a great deal about conflict. And some listeners were just saying, whichever side you feel is right, you really need to back away from this because it's not a significant enough of an issue to divide a nation over. They were saying, this is just one building or this is just the action of one pastor. Get some perspective here, because if you don't get perspective, the consequences will be very bad. And one last thing, our biggest single audience is in Nigeria. We have millions and millions of listeners there. And as you well know, there have been many conflicts over the years between Christians and Muslims there. Christians phoning us from Nigeria were unimpressed by the anger they've seen in places like Afghanistan. They say, again, this is Muslims being too sensitive, and they applauded our American listeners who are ringing up saying, we believe in this cultural center and we want it to go ahead.
Interesting. Now, Nigeria is a country that has many Muslims and many non-Muslims. So I wonder if you heard that divide from your Nigerian callers.
Well, certainly we did. And you know, the main divide comes down to sensitivity. If there are three words I've heard more than any other in New York over the past few days, it's people saying we've got to be responsible, we've got to be reasonable, and we've got to be sensitive. But I think that while our Nigerian Muslim listeners feel that it is reasonable to say, actually, do not burn our Quran. We do not want you to do that in any circumstances, and feel it's unreasonable for people to object to a cultural center. The Christians who are listening to us in Nigeria say, yet again, it's Muslims being oversensitive. Look at how they reacted to those cartoons in Denmark. Why don't they let people live according to how their societies would want to live? And as such, what we've seen from our Nigerian listeners is really what I've seen from our listeners all over the world, is that people aren't actually just debating these two stories. They're projecting much broader beliefs onto these two stories. And I saw that down, I was based on Murray Street, just a block away from Park Place a couple of days ago. I went up to the protest supporting the cultural centre. People were chanting about healthcare, about education, about a raft of other issues. I then went down the road to see a video of John Bolton being introduced. But before they played the video, the anti-protest heard a massive anti-UN speech calling the UN anti-freedom, anti-American. And as such, not just our American listeners, but our listeners all around the world have brought a great deal to these stories, which actually go quite a long way beyond the immediate issue.
We just have a few minutes with Roz Atkins, a presenter of World Have Your Say on the BBC World Service Radio Network and BBC World Service or World News Television. He was here in New York spending a lot of time on Park Place and in the World Trade Center site area in the days leading up to September 11th on Saturday. And he takes phone calls from around the world checking in on global reaction to this Ground Zero Islamic Community Center controversy, as well as you heard him say, the possibility that a pastor in Florida was going to burn a copy of the Quran. I want to play a clip of Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, the imam who, of course, has the mosque currently at that location and has been an imam right in that neighborhood a few blocks away since 1983. Here he is in an interview with Christiane Amanpour on ABC This Week yesterday.
We have two audiences. We have the American audience and we have the Muslim audience. And this issue has riveted the attention of the whole Muslim world. And whatever we do and whatever we say and how we move and the discourse about it is being watched very, very closely. And if we make the wrong move, it will only expand and strengthen the voice of the radicals and the extremists.
Do you have any way of judging whether he is accurate in that assessment, that moving the mosque would strengthen the hand of the radicals who are trying to recruit Muslims of the world to their cause? Is there anything in your phone calling from around the world or anything in other BBC reporting that you're familiar with that would indicate that that might or might not be true?
Well, I think there are two things here. One is people being tolerant of extremism. So if you take the example of Afghanistan, there's a big difference between actually approaching the Taliban and saying you want to work with them and saying you'll just tolerate them being around. And, of course, the third category is actively not wanting them to be there. Now, I haven't taken any phone calls from anyone saying, now this is happening in America, I'm going to go and fight for the Taliban or I'm going to help them with logistics. But what callers have been saying is that, and to be honest, people tend to like talking about other people rather than themselves. They can be a little cagey and for good reasons. But they'll tell you that they can hear people saying things like, well, if the Americans are going to do this, maybe the Taliban isn't such a bad option after all. So I think rather than, I can't give you evidence that, or even anecdotal evidence that it's making someone want to pick up a gun and fight American or NATO troops in Afghanistan, but I can certainly give you anecdotal evidence that this kind of story, and let's be clear, it goes through a lot of filters between a pastor in Florida saying one thing and someone in a village in Afghanistan hearing about the story. So by the time it gets there, it's been through, you know, a media version of Chinese whispers, and you can imagine how things can get twisted. That definitely alienates Afghans from America. There's no doubt about that. I could tell you of any number of calls we've received saying, this is damaging how I feel about America and about how America's troops are about American troops being here. That's clearly a big step between feeling that and actually willing the Taliban to succeed. So I think it more has an impact on people's relationship with America than it does with the Taliban, and it's had a negative effect on America's relationship with some Afghans. The fact that the burning didn't go ahead is neither here nor there. The pastor had called it off, and hours later we were getting reports in the northeast of Afghanistan that there were thousands of people on various town streets. So the fact that it got called off, I think, has kind of been lost in the midst of all the frustration.
Right. The fact that it didn't happen, that he didn't in fact do it, you think may have actually gotten lost. Like a story that's reported on the BBC or WNYC or in a newspaper, and then a correction is run a couple of days later. People see the original story or hear the original story. They don't always notice the correction.
But I must tell you, Brian, that, you know, there is a lot of finger-pointing going on about this in all sorts of directions, and the finger's being pointed at you and me as well. We've had a lot of heat from listeners, a lot of serious heat come towards the BBC for the way that pastor Terry Jones' story was covered. I remember getting a passionate email from a guy called Gideon in Israel saying, what on earth is the BBC doing even covering this story? This guy's only got a congregation of 50 people. You have helped to create a problem. To which our reply has been, well, once you have General Petraeus and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Sarah Palin and everyone else weighing in on something, it's a bigger story. But even when we explain that to our listeners and our viewers, there's still a decent chunk of them who are frustrated that we have in some way played a part in damaging relationships between America and the Muslim world. And I think there are questions to be asked. I'd like to think the BBC has got this just about right. But it's been a delicate story to cover, as I'm sure you found on public radio as well.
Indeed, there certainly is a chicken and egg question to ask here. That is, do Hillary Clinton and everybody else weigh in on it because media have been giving it attention, or is it the other way around? Not that we can answer that right now. We got to go in a minute, but I want to ask you an even longer-term question. Roz, how long have you been hosting World Have Your Say?
I've been doing it about 5 years, 5.5 years.
Is there any gauge that you have of the general view out of the rest of the world of the United States now that Barack Obama has been in office for a couple of years?
I'm just going to ask you to answer this question again, because I think one of your producers was speaking to me by accident and I couldn't hear anything you were saying.
Sure. Real quick, in 30 seconds, the view of the United States had gotten so negative under and to a degree as a result of the Bush administration. How much has that improved under and perhaps because of the Obama administration?
Okay, two things. One thing, George Bush wasn't as unpopular as everyone thought abroad. When I did a show about George Bush in Africa, we were deluged by people in Africa who absolutely adored him and his commitment to Christianity. So the first thing is, he wasn't universally unpopular. The second thing is that Barack Obama clearly came, you know, 99% of our listeners were pleased that he beat John McCain. However, what is going on in Afghanistan at the moment, I think, still raises some big issues for our listeners, particularly issues for people in the Muslim world. And I think until Afghanistan is resolved, until American troops are out of there, I think Barack Obama's relationship with the rest of the world and America's relationship with the rest of the world is going to be delicate, to say the least.
Roz Atkins, they call him a presenter. We just say host in this country, of World Have Your Say on BBC World Service Radio and BBC World News Television. Roz, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, two designers map your moves.